The Holy Spirit began to deal with me this week about these passages, and one of the things that really stood out to me was the 40 days that Jesus spent talking to the disciples. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and listen to what Jesus had to say after his resurrection. And I've often felt in my heart that I kind of missed out. I wasn't there. I didn't get to hear all of it. But the Holy Spirit corrected that this week, because the book of Acts is filled with what Jesus was talking about. And it never dawned on me that what we see in the lives of the apostles and the letters of the apostles is exactly what Jesus taught for 40 days after his resurrection. And the disciples had no problem sharing all the details about Jesus Christ and everything they saw and everything they heard and all the wonderful things that Jesus did. But what is most significant about what Jesus taught after his resurrection, we see in Acts chapter 1. And that is the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I cannot stress to you how important it is that for you and I, we be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about a portion, a drip, or a little bit. I'm talking overflowing. Rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. I'm talking about a power that comes only from God and God Himself. I'm talking about a connection that is real and genuine. Listen, the world has seen enough of the fake and the stuff that's just not real. The world needs a real demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God at work in the lives of believers. Amen? And the first thing Jesus said to them, the first command that Jesus gave was to stay and wait. Stay and wait. I could tell you that this is a problem today because many people don't want to stay, and in our society, they most certainly don't want to wait. We need to learn the ability to stay and wait on the Spirit of God. Many people will make decisions without waiting or staying. Many people will do things they're not supposed to do because they had not stayed or waited for God to give them instructions. And staying and waiting is crucial for you and I, because if we don't stay and wait, we won't receive what God has for us. And we say we can do it by ourselves when we don't stay and wait. Now here's something crucial, because if you stay, Jesus said, don't go nowhere. Don't go start your ministry. Don't do ministry cards. Don't get yourself a card that says, the ministry of Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, and go out, start preaching. Don't do anything. Stay in Jerusalem. And here's the reason why. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to fall in Capernaum. The Holy Spirit isn't going to fall down there at Nazareth. The Holy Spirit isn't going to fall at Antioch. He's going to fall in Jerusalem in the upper room where I've told you to stay and wait. Now, it's crucial that you understand that you being in the right place is where the Spirit of God will move on you. Now, we can kind of boil this down to two things. One, you need to be where God tells you to be spiritually, and you need to be where God tells you to be physically. I could tell you going to the wrong church that doesn't believe in the Spirit of God, it isn't going to happen there. Now, I'm not knocking all the other churches. I'll knock any church that doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit moving today. I'll tell you right now that I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher who isn't filled with the Holy Spirit today. I want to hear something that comes fresh from the bakery of heaven, that comes from God, and only the Spirit of God can give that kind of anointing and power and strength that penetrates the hearts of the people in the congregation. So where you are is crucial, physically and spiritually. Understand this, you need to stay spiritually in the right place with God. You need to be in the right place with God. If you got a loose tongue, my dear sister, get rid of it. If you got a problem with other people, get over it. If you can't love your neighbor as yourself, then you need to get in a closet with the Spirit of God so He can put His love in you. You need to learn how to stay in the right place. Stay in the right place spiritually. Stay in the right place physically. And then learn to be patient. Oh, that's a hard one. Because many people give up in the waiting. But you never lose time when you wait on God. Someone say amen to that. You never lose time when you wait on the Lord to move in your life. So take the time to be patient. Don't rush it. You know, I've seen Christians do this time and time again. They come and they pray, Lord, fill me with your spirit. They're doing their best. They're staying in the right place physically and spiritually. But then they don't have the patience to endure the time that God may wait. Listen, they were waited 10 days. Jesus ascended into the cloud in front of their eyes, and the Holy Spirit didn't fall until 10 days later. Maybe on the third day they thought, well, maybe this isn't going to happen. Maybe it isn't going to happen on the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. And maybe some people fell off by the wayside and said, well, maybe we got other things we have to do, and there's no reason to be fanatical and come up with all these things. And you know what happens when people aren't patient? They replace their faith with doubt. They began to doubt that the Holy Spirit is for them, or that the Holy Spirit is even for today and for their lives. I'm telling you that the infilling of the Holy Ghost isn't just for the pastors of churches. It isn't just for the apostles of that day. It is for every single believer that calls upon the name of Jesus. It is for you. It is for me. It is for your children. It is for your relatives. It is for everybody. The Holy Spirit is for every single individual today. God's first command wasn't the Great Commission. He said, stay and wait. Stay and wait. Your first thing you need to understand is you need to be empowered to fulfill the Great Commission. You need to be spiritually worthy enough to fulfill the Great Commission. You need to be in a place that when you tell someone about Jesus, your lifestyle confirms what you're talking about. Have you ever heard somebody tell you about Jesus and you knew they didn't know Jesus? You're like, do you know him? You serving the Lord? I mean, I couldn't tell by, you know, your lifestyle. There needs to be an example in your life that puts the power in your words. Amen? And the Holy Spirit gives you a boldness that you can talk to people. One of the things the Holy Spirit gave to me was a holy boldness to just say it. That gets me in trouble, and it also does me some good. Because I've learned to tame that, be careful how I say it, but before I would just say it. I was like a ball-peen hammer on a forehead. Because I don't like beating around the bush. Anybody else in the house don't like beating around the bush? I don't beat around the bush. I don't play the games. I don't float around. I'm not fooling around. This is not a game to me. This is a real thing to me. Jesus Christ is real. He is not dead. He is alive. And the Holy Spirit lives and breathes inside of me and inside every believer that calls upon the name of the Lord. And we need to be filled, and we need to follow his command. If you're not filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit this morning, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then I would challenge you to learn how to stay and wait until you get it. Now here's the kicker. The purpose of staying and waiting is you shall receive power. Why do I stay in Jerusalem? Why do I wait? You shall receive power. You shall receive power because we need the power of God to live this life. I don't know about, I was told one time, they said, well, I don't know, people they're not really keen on the Holy Spirit today. And you know, it's okay, let's regulate the Holy Spirit to a back room. You know, you can practice the gifts of the Spirit back there, not in the congregation. We don't want to cause confusion within the body. And let me tell you something, Jesus never said one time that the Holy Spirit would cause confusion. Not one time did he say that. He doesn't bring confusion, he brings power. He brings an anointing. I'm telling you, church is dead until he shows up. Church is dead until the Holy Ghost is there. But when the Holy Ghost shows up, he brings the power with him. When the Holy Ghost walks in, the sick get healed. When the Holy Ghost walks in, those who are bound get delivered. I'm talking about power. You want to see a drug addict
set free, let them meet the Holy Ghost. You want to see someone who's bound by the lust and the perversions of our world? Let them get full of the Holy Ghost, because there's a power in the Holy Spirit that they can walk in. And so I don't want to regulate them and say, hey, you can do this, but nothing else. And we don't. And listen, if me being filled with the Holy Ghost offends you, then you need to get back to your Bible. Because you got some problems, biblically speaking. The Bible is plainly clear that the Holy Spirit is for today. Not one verse in that Bible. I'm telling you, as your pastor, there's not one verse in that Bible that says the Holy Ghost isn't for today. There's not one verse in that Bible that says it's just for the apostles' day, just for Peter, James, John, and just for that time. Not one verse in that Bible says that. I'm telling you that it does say this, that it's for your children's children, and it is for them that are afar off. The Bible does say that, and I'm telling you that's worth the wait. The Holy Ghost is worth the wait. And I like this, that because the Bible says this, the power comes when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It's not by your might. It's not by your power, but it's by his Spirit, saith the Lord. Am I preaching gospel truth today? Am I preaching gospel truth? It's not something you can do, but when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, oh, I want to dance, I do. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, when his power resides in you, oh, there is nothing like it. You'll outrun chariots like Elijah did when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll call fire down from heaven when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll go out there with the jawbone of a donkey and slay 1,000 at one standstill when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll stand in front of a bean patch and with just a staff in your hand and say, you don't come any further, you Philistines. You cannot have what God's blessed me with and be able to defend over 600 Philistines. Why? Because when the Spirit comes upon you, you can do more and do greater than you could ever even fathom. The Spirit of God needs to come upon his people again. I said the Spirit of God needs to come upon his people again. And here's the problem. It's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not the problem. It's the people who won't stay and wait. I'm going to say that again because this is crucial. The Holy Spirit is not the problem. It's the people who will not stay and wait. We need to get to a place in our spiritual walk where we are done fooling around. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost when I said that. Some of you have been fooling around with your faithfulness, fooling around with your commitment, fooling around with your ideas about God and not about God, or are you agnostic, atheist? Oh, phooey, just get in there and get on fire. We need to get back to getting to a place where we are finished with the world. We sell out to Jesus Christ and tell the devil we have all sold out. There's nothing in my life you can purchase. You can't purchase my home, my children, my finances. You can't purchase who I am in Christ. I am sold out to God. That kind of person gets filled with the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you'll do great exploits for the Lord. I said you'll do great exploits for the Lord. You'll walk up to lame men and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. You'll see great miracles happen in your life when you let God's Spirit come upon you. And I'm telling you, you want to know the best cure for depression? Oh, you already know what I'm going to say. The best cure for depression is a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the best cure. I'm telling you, you might be sad and you might be beaten back. Why don't you come down to the altar this morning and let the Holy Spirit just envelop your life? Why don't you come down and let God fill your heart with his touch? I'm telling you, you'll leave feeling like you've just seen Jesus descend into the clouds. And you'll know everything's all right. I said all that to say this. Why are you gazing? See, the question is, are you gazing or are you a participator? Jesus ascends into the cloud, and isn't it an awe moment? I'm like, oh my gosh, look, there he goes. And there are a lot of Christians who get caught in the awe and don't participate. I want to say this. I've said it to you before. I'm going to say it probably till I die. Christianity is not a spectator sport. This isn't a football game, a holy football game where you get to go, well, that was a good pass. Or that was a good one. That was a good tongues interpretation. Last week, that was kind of weak, but this one was good. This isn't a spectator thing. This is for you to participate in. And when the waters troubled, my dear brother or sister, you need to get in. And when God is moving, quit watching while he's moving. I see it all the time. He says, I love you. Sitting on the front row. Holy Ghost is moving over there. Getting crazy over there, huh? Well, that's just not for me. I'm more reserved. I don't do that stuff. That's not church to me. Haven't been to church in a long time, but that's not church to me. But you see him at a football game. Yeah, you do. You see them watching their sports team. Oh, they're excited then. Then they got some. Oh, they're all of a sudden here comes the emotion. I tell you that the truth is that we get emotional about what we love. So when you say I'm more reserved in church, I'm thinking maybe something inside you isn't as in love as it should be. And don't get me wrong, there's different personalities, and I understand the differences. I understand extrovert, introvert. I understand all that. I'm not preaching about that. I'm preaching about allowing the Spirit of God to just move in you and not regulate him over there. Quit being a gazer and watching him move over there and over there and on this person and on that person. Quit being a gazer and saying, I'm thankful that God uses them in the gifts, but why don't you get used in the gifts? Why don't you step up and get used in the gifts? Why don't you become a participator? Praise God for Sister Schultz, who's not afraid to let the gifts move upon her. Praise God for Brother Schultz, who's not afraid to let the gifts move upon him. Praise God for Pastor Jack, who's not afraid to let the Holy Spirit give him a gift to use. But what about you? The gifts are not just for this building. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge are for there. They're for the world. Healings for the world. Miracles are for the world. Prophecy is for the world. Tongues and interpretation is for the world. It's not just here. It's out there. So I challenge you, quit being a gazer and be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. One thing I know about gazers is they need to be reminded to quit gazing. You ever catch someone who's supposed to be working, not working, watching other people work? See it in the county all the time. You always know they're a county worker when there's one guy digging and three guys watching. Right? I don't remember when it was. I can't remember who it was. I just remember the situation that we were working in, and one guy was watching. My son and I were working, and I remember now. My son and I were digging a stump out. We were digging this stump out, and boy, it was killing us. And we had a young man come over, and he had like soft hands, like he had never worked a day in his life. He just sit there watching us work. Here we are, sweating, tired. I'm older than him. I'm not moving as fast. Caleb's down there beating on the stumps, cutting the stumps, trying to pull this stump out, and he's just sitting back there just talking up a storm. I looked at Caleb and I said, "You stop right now." We handed him the shovel. We sat down and we watched him work. I'll never forget what he said when I handed him the shovel. He said, "What do I do with that thing?" I said, "Pointy end goes in the dirt." Amen. Amen. Never forget that. People that stand gazing need to be reminded that they need to quit the gazing and start getting involved. There are times in your Christian life that someone needs to come by and say, "Hey, what are you doing?" And gazers have a tendency to forget the command of God. They get stuck in the spectacle of it all. And they forget the command of God to stay and wait. Stay and wait. The Holy Spirit, God's gift to the church after his death and resurrection, is the baptism of fire, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I would not want to go through this life doing the work of the kingdom without the empowerment that comes from above. I need the power. And so as the disciples, picture this, all right, Jesus is talking to them. "Hey, I'm going away, but the Holy Spirit is coming. He's going to come. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't worry, I'm almost finished. Stay with me just this little more time and I'm done. I get two closings, right, or three? One or two. I'm almost done." The disciples are seeing this spectacular event. Jesus is resurrected, and this is amazing. They're in a room, and poof, he just shows up. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't climb through a window. He's just poof, here he is. That's amazing to me. And then they sit down and they eat together. Jesus is eating with them. Kind of tells me what the new body will kind of be like. We'll get to eat. Hopefully there's sushi in heaven. Amen. And so you'll get to eat. And Jesus is for 40 days communicating about the kingdom of God. And one of the most important things he's talking about is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, who's going to come when he leaves. That's important information. And Jesus is going up in the cloud. He's going up and a cloud receives him and he vanishes out of their sight. And the guys are like, "Yeah, praise the Lord. Woo-hoo!" Gazers. There are a lot of people looking and gazing, but isn't it wonderful that God gives the gentle reminder? My job this morning is a gentle reminder. A gentle reminder. Why are you gazing? Why are you watching when you should be playing? God did not equip you to watch it. He equipped you to be a player. He equipped you to be on the field, in the work, doing the thing. He equipped you to be involved. So quit watching and get involved. Amen? Quit watching and get involved. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you, wants to walk with you, wants to equip you. And what I love is the Bible said that after the disciples heard the news, "Why are you gazing?" they quit looking down. And they went to the upper room where they were supposed to be. And the Bible paints a picture of who's all there. And I love this because it tells us everyone that's there. It's the disciples are all there except for Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Every disciple, 11 disciples are there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. And his half-brothers, James and Judah, and all of them are there. And that's amazing to me because they're waiting for the one thing Jesus said was coming.
I'm asking you, have you waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon you? Have you stayed and waited? Have you stayed and waited because he wants to come upon you? I said he wants to come upon you. Well, how do I know he'll come upon me? I'm glad you asked. How do I know it's him? iPad, I really am done. I'll tell you how you'll know. One, you'll feel a drawing in your spirit that you need to respond to this message. You'll feel something in you said, this is for me. That's the Holy Spirit moving you, talking to you. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you'll know that by his drawing, you'll want to come and you'll get into the altar and you'll start praying and you'll start to feel his presence. Now, I don't know how you respond. I'll tell you how I respond, and then you can decide how your response is between you and the Lord. But when the Holy Spirit touches me, one of the first things that happens in me is I begin to cry. I can't help it. It's just a natural response. When the Holy Spirit stops by at home and he touches me, I just cry. I just, tears flood my eyes and my heart literally skips a beat when I know he is there. There's this touch that comes and that his presence begins to move in me. I've seen the Holy Spirit touching people during song service and them cleaning their eyes because the Holy Spirit is talking to people, dealing with people, even during the song service. That's one of the ways you know he's on you. Then there's this thing called stammering lips. I've seen it on many people. Their lips began to stammer. No words, just stammer. Just quivering lip, like a quivering lip, like a baby who's crying profusely, going, you know, that kind of crying. The stammering lips come upon you. And right at that moment, the Holy Spirit is so upon you that if you would just start to speak out words, it would explode in you because the Holy Spirit is upon you. I don't have time to teach about tongues and for today, but I will teach about tongues in today's church because it is necessary, the gifts of the Spirit today. And in this church, we don't regulate him. We don't tell him he can move in the hallway, but not in the building. We don't tell him he can move in the living room, but not in his house. We don't tell him that he can move in a room that we seclude him to, but he can't move in here. We don't do that here. Matter of fact, it's my prayer as your pastor that I just get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost have his way. That's my prayer. That services get interrupted by the power of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing better than a service interrupted by the Spirit of God. I love it when he messes it up. Mess up the program. Just change it all, God. Just do it. Don't be a gazer. Be a participator in the kingdom of God. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning?